Welcome, friends, to a moment of wonder and self-discovery. On this February 11th, 2024, we are privileged to welcome guest speaker Robert Wilson, who will lead us through an exploration titled Everyday Miracles: Who Are You Really? Together, let's uncover the miracles that surround us daily and embark on a journey to discover our true selves. May this sermon inspire you to recognize the extraordinary in the ordinary and to question, with deep curiosity, the essence of your being.
Let's go into our heart and have a short meditation. And I think of it as a heart-mind. And recognize that truth that there's nothing but God. And we are a unique aspect of that. And our gift to the world is our uniqueness, to bring forth that more and more consciously, blessing one another, blessing all that is. So now go deeply, deeper yet into that truth that we are love. We are whole. And get a sense that that truth is true for everyone, whether we like them or not, the whole world. And living in that truth, being grounded in that truth, feeling that love and that protection. Let's send that love out to each and every one who maybe needs, who's crying out, and especially our blessed Reverend Judith. Seeing the wholeness manifesting here in the physical, here in time and space, here that sometimes feels so separate, and yet we know better. And see that going out so the whole world is contained within our love. I love the image, protected under the arms of the Almighty, each and every one, moment to moment. And so it is. And please bring your awareness back into the room. And see if you can't hear the words I speak today, not only from the mind, but from the heart. See if you can get to the truth behind the words. See, words can be such a trap. And didn't, according to the gospel stories, isn't that why Jesus got himself into so much trouble? Talking about the truth behind? So let's see if we can raise a little trouble today. And just in case, I gave myself a cheat sheet. Now, I might, to some of you, have picked a really strange subject. I mean, who are you really? I mean, my goodness. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I have a name, you know, and so on and so forth. But I want you to go really much deeper than that. Who are you really? And we'll have a lot more to say about that. And then we talked about everyday miracles. And as we go deeper and deeper to who are we really, I think hopefully we'll all get a little different, a broader understanding that truly every moment is a miracle, every day. And then I'd like to tell you some brief stories that kind of support our beliefs, but looking at the cutting edge of science, the cutting edge of spirituality as mentioned by mystics today, and how it all fits so wonderfully into our unity beliefs that all is God. So now let's see, is the scripture? Yeah. I can't really see that very well. Is it showing the scripture, Jen?
It is.
Thank you. And this Gospel of Thomas came from the Nag Hammarskjöld, or Hamish, how do you say it? Hammadi, thank you, there I got it. Discovery, remember in Egypt, I think in 1945? And it's interesting, that particular book, and there are lots and lots of others that were discovered, the historians think that they were all buried back when this congregation of men, I think, and power structure decided to canonize what goes into the Bible and what doesn't. So they were told, these don't go in, you need to bury them. But thank goodness they did. Because to me, they point really to the same truths that you can see in the Bible if you have eyes to see. But it's so radical, I can see why they didn't put them in. Because you see, they point towards the truth is in each of us. And the ultimate authority is in us. Everything we can do in alignment with the truth of who we are, which gets back to that, who are we really? So who are we really? And look especially what it says there in Thomas. Especially, rather the kingdom is inside of you, it's outside of you. And when you really get that, when you really realize it, then you really know. And I'll add, sons and daughters of the living God. And we would say in unity, we really are the physical manifestation of God. Now, I think one thing we have to kind of give up real quick is you know, we have so many highfalutin ideas, maybe, of how it's like to be a son and daughter of God. You know, we read the scripture stories and, oh my goodness, you know, I can't do that. But all we're really asked to do is to be that unique person that we are and to kind of go beyond all of our conditioning. Who are we really? You know, why are we here? And that why is to let our light shine. I'm inspired to tell you a little story. I just read this a few days ago. It's by Neil Donald Walsh, a children's story. And so, well, one day, there's a little candle in the sun. And she knew she was one with all, and her light was, it was nothing but light. But one day she said, God, I don't get it. I mean, I really would like to experience my light. Is that possible? And he said, well, yeah, I can make that happen. But to do that, I'm going to have to make you forget this oneness and this wholeness is here. But what you'll be able to, where you'll think you are, to see your light more and more, and to see the light in everybody else, and to bring this wholeness that we're experiencing right now into your everyday experience. And so the little candle, she was happy. And so she said, yes, I could do that. Well, you know the rest of the story. Here we are. So that's kind of our theme. How do we get there? How do we find out and learn and experience the truth of God? Is it everything out there and everything in here? And a deep sense that if I really get it, that I really am that too. Now, the easy way to get there is to say, well, what do we say in unity, right? All is God. Well, if all is God, of course everything out there is God. Maybe I don't see it, but it is. So I might as well learn a new way. And for the same token, it's in me. So we resolve that paradox, and of course all that says, how else could I be other than that which I am? So we've kind of answered it, but I'd like to go look at it. What do we say in our current cutting-edge science about it? It's popular in New Age thought to think of, you know, quantum mechanics and quantum field and energies and all of that good stuff. But actually something is happening now. Let me see. Let me tell you some names. Nassim Harriman. Any of you familiar with his work? The Resident Science?
Yeah.
They're doing some... Well, let me back up a little bit. What does most conventional science tell us about reality? Doesn't it say we're made out of things called atoms? And atoms get with other atoms, and it gets complicated, and it gets complicated enough that somehow we get consciousness. Or, you know, variations on those themes, but that's the idea, right? But it doesn't say anything about God. It doesn't say anything about why. How did that all happen? How did life? Well, I mean, I didn't hear anything about life in that story. Well, Nassim Harriman is kind of fascinating. I mean, he's a renegade physicist. Now, some of you know that's kind of my background, too, in some ways. But I wasn't too much of the renegade. I retired from that. But anyway, and he can... one of the problems in the modern physics way of looking at it is it doesn't explain life, as I said. It doesn't explain God. But it doesn't even explain well the theories it's trying to explain. I mean, it doesn't combine into one equation quantum mechanics, classical mechanics, Einsteinian relativity of Einstein. It can't even define the fundamental constants of physics. And you probably know there's at least 15, and all the simulations have shown if each of those 15 set of numbers that ultimately from which you could derive all we know about physics right now has to be accurate to, I think it's like 10 or 15 digits worth. If you change a digit closer to the beginning by just at one, life becomes not possible. Boy, that tells you something right there. There's a lot of holes in this theory. Well, what Nassim has done, he was very brave. He added a term to the Einstein field equation. Now he can reconcile quantum mechanics and relativity. More important to me, he could derive from his first principles all these constants that we have accurately. When he first did his first prediction, he mentioned one of these numbers that they're using was off a little bit. Now, in physics, off a little bit is a really big deal. And so, you know, they didn't believe him, of course. Well, so he published all this in a peer review article. Legitimate, you know, really good accepted stuff. And I think it was just a few months later, some new measurements showed that his result was within the error bars of the newest experiment. So, of course, he was ecstatic about that. Not only does he get all of these constants, even more important, he, instead of talking about space and time as we're used to, he talks about space memory. And everything at every scale is interconnected, passes information forward and backwards. So everything everywhere influences everything else. Kind of sounds a little bit like God, doesn't it? And he says consciousness is the nature ultimately of the universe. Well, now I'm getting somewhere. So you can't have other than life, you see, if you talk like that. And then there's another modern perspective looking at it. I heard this from Donald Hoffman. Some of you may know him. He's a neurobiologist, I believe, at Stanford, emeritus at this point, doing a lot of research and, you know, taking the, what do we find out about the brain and what's it really tell us about it? And then also there's a fellow by the name of Bernardo Castroff, maybe some of you have heard him. He's got two PhDs, one in computer science and one in philosophy of all things. Anyway, both tell the stories about some of the advanced physicists at CERN in the big accelerator in Europe, that they're saying the only way we can account for the data we measure now is the discovery that reality, ultimate reality, if I could use those words, is something beyond what we call time and space. And somehow this ultimate reality projects itself down into our perception of what is time and space. Well, doesn't that kind of sound like our idea of God again? You know, it's so, that's getting there. Well, what about these mystics of today? One of the ones we've studied a lot here in our different Zoom classes, Ajahshanti. Have any of you read some of his books? I know we did in the Tuesday class and in some of the other Zoom classes. Ajahshanti he grew up in the Zen Buddhist tradition, and he was asked to be a teacher by his teacher, but she never constrained him. You have to pass on this Buddhist dogma. So he's a lot like us. And he likes to just go where he's led to go. And yet he brings this depth of understanding and, frankly, his enlightenment to the understanding. He's done some wonderful things relating these concepts in Buddhism and Christianity, for instance. And what does he say? Well, he says, when you meditate, relax and pay attention primarily. Relax and pay attention. Now, what do you mean, pay attention? Well, we're really aware of our thinking, our feelings, our thoughts, and all of that. Don't pay attention to them. Pay attention to the context that all of this is happening in. And you get down, and even if you get just a taste, a little bit, you find out, wait a minute, I'm part of all that is. So it's not limited to this body, not limited to this room. It's all that is. And yet somehow, miraculously, I could look out and see each of you, and I realize you're the same all that is that I am. So we're not different. So how could I not love you? How can you not love me? See, it's like the mother and her child. And sure, the child might do something the mother's not happy about, but there's a bond there, a oneness. And if somebody does something that's inappropriate, well, we step in and correct it. That's nothing wrong with that. But deep down, we know that since each of us is such a unique aspect of God, maybe I shouldn't be too fast into thinking my understanding is the only way. That's hard, Peggy will tell you. But that's the cutting edge of growth for me, I'll tell you. To learn from those who would disagree. I know they talk about, in the Course in Miracles, many of you have studied that, they talk about they'll paraphrase, the most sacred place on earth is where two people who violently disagreed with each other learn to love each other. And that each is really just trying to express their perceptions of truth right now for lots of reasons, most of which are conditioned, by the way. Well, so that's where we're pointing at from these mystics. Now, so what, you might say? What about modern-day miracles? Well, for starters, if we change our mind, wouldn't that be a pretty big miracle? About how we perceive one another, how we perceive someone else, especially someone we don't agree with, we don't like. And it's okay, nothing wrong with having our own opinions. I mean, I think we need to do that. Or we're not bringing through that uniqueness that really is us. I mean, we really are the light of the world, and we need to bring our light into a greater, into a raging flame. I mean, just think for a second. How would it be if we could all live there as a society, all aware that we're all love, and that our real purpose is to bring that forth. And how, you ask? Well, life will show us the opportunities. I mean, it could be something so simple. Oh, I just noticed a piece of trash on the ground. Well, is it mine to pick it up or not? I could do it either way, and I may not know. So I follow my guidance. I mean, if you ever want to experiment a little with this, easiest way is go in the neighborhood where it's safe to walk, and you have to turn different places. But don't make a decision where you're going to turn. And just let yourself see. And you'll find out, wow, this is a very different way to live. And sure, you know, there's times we have to apply what we learned and what's practical and what's useful. But even there, we can be guided. And every time in my career was always that way. And all I really ever needed to know, there was a solution. I didn't know. Oh. Well, how would it be if I knew something about the solution? How would it be if it was like this? What would happen? And so it's a play thing. It's not a, oh, I gotta be, you know. I mean, it's like, here I am, God. Use me. What would you have me do today? That particular song was especially important to Peggy and I, because they played that at each of our ordinations. And even today, and I was singing along, and I had to stop singing because I would start to cry. I mean, that's such a powerful song. So are you getting a sense at what we pointed at in the scriptures? You see why we can really say God is out there? If we really get it, and God is in here, and if I really get it, then I really get that I and you and all that is are a unique manifestation of God. And furthermore, and this is maybe hard to swallow, right now at this instant, things are the best they can be, because they would be different if that wasn't true. And that's true for you and me when, oops, that wasn't quite the right path to go on. Well, wonderfully, life shows us, you know, what works and what doesn't work. So I think I have time to maybe share some personal stories there, some healing. Let's see. Probably for me personally, the one probably the most dramatic was I used to have awful migraine headaches. And I knew, I mean, I made it so much worse for myself because I hated it so much. I mean, don't we all do that with things we don't like? But somehow I had the idea I had to confront myself on that. So one day after stopping on the way home to do what I had to do, I got home and I told Peg, you know, what I was going to do is going to lie down. I shut the blind, shut the door. Peg was taking care of the kids. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to do this. And so I went into this blinding red pain. It was incredible pain. But somehow I felt like I'm sticking my head through a barrier. And when I looking in this barrier, I saw nothing but light and peace that passes understanding. No pain. And then it's like I took my head back. Oh, no, I don't like this. I want to stay back in this, just peaceful. And you know, I've never had a migraine since then. And that was, what, 40 years ago, I bet. So would that be a miracle? Certainly. I would call it that. But maybe a more fun one that we often experience, and you may not have realized you even experienced it. Have you all seen the movie? Oh my goodness, it's probably fairly old by now. On Mozart's life, Amadeus. Well, Peg and I went to that, I don't know, back in the 80s probably. And I remember, I don't usually do this, so this is really a little weird for me, but I sat down and I really liked that music. And I really thought to myself, well, God, I don't need my lower vehicles. You use them as you will. I'm going to just get lost in this movie. And I did. I got totally lost. Oh, at least an hour. And then I became aware of my environment. But what I was aware of, you know, I had a sixth sense. Because I was aware that my heart had everybody in the theater in it. And love was flowing through all of us. And I realized that happens all the time for all of us. We just don't realize it. Now, we probably feel it here Sunday morning. I mean, how can you not with Judas up here doing, I mean, my goodness. But it's happening now. Can you feel it? There's nothing but that unconditional acceptance and love, the relationship. And so Peg and I are so grateful that we found you all. I mean, just the right time at the right place. No accidents, of course, you would say. So where does that leave us then? Where have we been? If the outer is God, and all of the inner is God, and you and I are God. So what we might call the kingdom of God then is manifest. It's not some time later. It's not something we have to wait for. It's not even something we have to earn. It's more, do we choose to see it? So the buck stops back with us. It's our choice. And there's nothing wrong even if we make the wrong choice. But frankly, it's a lot more painful if you make the wrong choice. So, you know, I'll accept pain as a great teacher, but why make it any harder than it needs to be, right? So you kind of getting where I'm coming from? See, we are all that. Some people would say, we are that which the world has been waiting for, right? There's nothing. So why did we say yes? Like the song, yes, God. And just as I am. See, I'm not flawed. I don't have things I have to correct and do. And sure, life will give us opportunities to change and grow. But isn't that part of the joy of being here? That we can learn a greater love and compassion? Another miracle example I can give you. Our youngest son and his family is here in Tyler, Texas. That's one reason we moved here, because we're getting to the age of, you know, it's really nice to have family close. And most all the grandchildren are here. All but one is on the west, on the East Coast. But they're coming from a really strong fundamentalist perspective. And, you know, we had some concern about that. How's that going to work? And I'm discovering that if I talk my truth, and using their words, I have to be careful and make sure I use their words, because they don't understand my words. And so, see, I could use words like, I think it was St. Paul in the Ephesians, I'm not sure, it doesn't really matter, said, the old man is dead, the Christ who liveth in me doeth the work, or something like that. And that's kind of what we're saying. We're saying the God self is you, who you are. And the old man, who's the old man? Well, that's the one that's learned all of this conditioning that we've learned year after year after year. And by golly, didn't we have a lot of help learning that? So, you know, we got a lot to unlearn. It's not that that was wrong. That was actually necessary to prepare a vehicle, us, in time and space, so now we can more consciously, as a large number, can know that truth. And that, I think, is why we were created. That, I think, is the cutting edge of what we could call evolution. God consciously manifesting in time and space as you and me, finding out what's that really going to look like. It's probably going to be vastly different from what we got out there right now. Don't you think? And see, one of the biggest problems, and I think I'll end on this, one of the biggest problems we have right now, we think of simple solutions, you know, kind of black and white, and that's worked sort of well, but we haven't got to the point of thinking both and, what would be a larger way to understand, to grow, and not even, and don't have the humility to say, oh, I'm willing to change my mind, that didn't work so well, I need to try something else. So we're at that pivotal point. And so the children came back at a wonderful time because we are that God presence. So let me ask you again then. Who are you really? Namaste.
Thank you, friends, for joining us in this exploration of Everyday Miracles, Who Are You Really? With our esteemed guest, Robert Wilson. As we part ways on this February 11th, 2024, may the insights and revelations shared today inspire you to see the world with new eyes and to continue the journey of self-discovery with a heart full of wonder. For more spiritual nourishment and resources, we invite you to visit our website at tylerunitycenter.org. Engage with our community by visiting our Facebook page and subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. And if you're in the Tyler, Texas area, we warmly welcome you to join us at 14024 Highway 155 South for more inspiring gatherings. Copyright 2024 Tyler Unity Center. All rights reserved. May the miracles of everyday life guide you to a deeper understanding of who you truly are, enriching your journey with joy and purpose.